And on today's Windy City Queercast, Mitchell Fain on the couch only two more times with me before he heads on his big cruise around South America and Bermuda, Bahamas. Come on, pretty mama. That's right. Mitchell's leaving the couch, but he's on the couch today. And we are going from one extreme to the next. We are talking about the very tragic death of Natasha Richardson. And just loss in general. But don't let that be a downer, because Mitchell's a funny man and I have funny things happen to me. And I think we laugh harder and we get to like the silent laugh in this show that hasn't ever happened with Mitchell and I in a show ever. I mean, tears streaming down our face. So, you know, it's what you can come to expect from Mitchell. Real sincerity and the surreally funny. So Mitchell Fain on the show with me today, and also Jack, our bisexual, is here, plus news, entertainment, and much, much more. It's a good show.
Windy City Queercast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Mitchell Fain.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Especially when I know I'm not. Make her feel good when I hurt so bad. Barely getting mad, I'm so glad I found you. I love being around you. You make it easy. It's easy as one, two, one, two.
There's
three,
only
four.
One thing to do. Three words for you.
There's only one way to say those three words.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 292. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Lady Gaga.
No, you are.
I'm not. I'm Mitchell Fain.
Can you imagine you didn't even know who Lady Gaga was?
I know.
A year
you told,
ago.
I know. You hipped me to her.
It's been less than a year ago that she was on the Gay Idol stage. And Gay Idol is starting.
Oh, it is starting soon.
This coming weekend.
I'm missing the whole thing this
You're
year.
You're missing the whole fucking thing.
I don't get to be a judge ever.
No.
When does it
I
end?
I don't think
end?
Lady Gaga will grace us with her presence ever
Maybe
again
not at
either.
This point.
This is kind of sad.
But
she got some new Dayglo shoes, though, which are good.
She's freaking fun. When does it end?
We end June 13th
oh, no,
at Sidetrack. You'll still be gone.
I'll still be gone.
Maybe we'll Skype you in like Oprah
well,
on a
fun.
Big screen TV.
Yeah, because I'll be able to Skype from like New Orleans or Boston.
Yeah. Coordinate that, will you? With
I
the
will.
Norwegian cruise ship
yeah.
or whomever.
I'll work it out.
It's our, well, hopefully it's not our last, but it's our last on the couch mm-hmm. with Mitchell for 4 months. And,
4 months.
Because you're getting ready to leave.
Yes,
in like 24 hours, 36 hours,
36
40 hours.
I leave for 4 months in the Gulf of Mexico on a Norwegian cruise ship.
Yep.
Performing for Second City.
That's so awesome. Deb Pierce, I told her that you were leaving, and she goes, tell him he needs to email me, or our best friends thing might just be on shaky ground.
Oh, no. Oh, my God, my lesbian crush.
And I said, you need to Facebook him. I can't see his Facebook page because I wear fuck Facebook t-shirts. However, I said, I think you can get him by Facebook. She was like, I'll try to get
Facebook.
Him on Facebook.
She better Facebook
I said,
me.
I don't know if he Twitters.
I don't Twitter.
I know he does Twitter, but I don't know if he Twitters.
I Twitter, I tweet. I don't Twitter.
You don't tweet, you Twitter.
Thank you. I'm not sure if that's a compliment. I'm going to say thank you.
It is.
Dolly
Parton Twitters.
Did you hear that nasal Jewish? God, I betray my roots.
No, your roots
I am
look
a Facebook.
Fabulous.
Thank you. I'm bald as the day I was born. I probably had more hair when I was born. Anyway, I don't Twitter, but I do love the Facebook. So Deb, honestly, Facebook me.
Yeah.
I get nervous when I even think about it.
You
get nervous?
I do.
She's your kind of lesbian.
She is.
She got that massive new tattoo.
She's just hot.
We love Deb Pierce. We're trying to get her back down here for Gay Idols. So definitely, we'll Skype.
That'd be super fun, like Oprah does.
It'd be like Toronto to South America to Chicago.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oprah.
I can be on like on the beach in Cozumel or something like that.
I was supposed to go on this cruise with you. This was the one that was supposed to be in the Mediterranean.
And then they canceled.
Yeah.
Well, they canceled.
Do they still give you like a little free cruise for your friends?
No, that's what I'm saying. They canceled that program.
Aw, that sucks. Just because they knew I was coming.
Well, you know, I get it. It's like recession
yeah.
stuff. And it was this incredibly generous gift that yeah. Second City gave. They're incredibly, incredibly generous company. But no, but I mean, there's all sorts of like, NCL has all sorts of like discounts that I can find out about and I'll let you know.
Yeah.
They have all sorts of like, sometimes they come up quickly though.
Will you go to Cozumel like 3 times?
Many times.
Okay. So if you go someplace really fucking fabulous,
yeah.
then call me and I'll just meet you there.
How fun would that be?
I prefer it to be in May because May is the coldest month in hell here because you feel like it should be warm and it's not yet.
Yeah, no, I know.
I saw a girl with open-toed shoes on today and I was like, are your feet cold? And she's like, no.
In fact, yes, we should talk about this, yeah, because in fact, there's actually even a better idea if you've, I mean, it's Bermuda, which is not the most exciting, but we spend 3 solid days, we don't leave, so we're just there.
Ooh.
Which is super fun because then we can actually spend like quality time just
Bermuda,
like being there.
Bahamas.
Oh God, my least favorite
mama.
Pop song of the last 50 years.
Yay!
I hate that song.
It's a really bad song.
Is it a stupid?
But you can't hear any of those names of those. You can't hear.
No, I know.
Somebody Bermuda, say one of those.
Bahama, mama,
come
pretty.
On, pretty mama.
That's not songwriting.
John Stamos, no. But the Beach Boys.
John Stamos playing drums, right?
Yeah, but John. But the Beach Boys are.
You're so tan.
Thank you. I've been to the beach.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's my friend Scott Ferguson drove by me in my new hybrid, and he goes, he rolled down the window, and he was like, you're driving a hybrid. Thank you. Because it's something from South Park, and I don't watch it. So now when people say, I'm like, thank you.
Well, you look good.
Thank you. I had a really good trip. I really have hardly had time to
I
see
know.
You, and we live in the same house.
Isn't
kind
that crazy?
Of. It's weird. We.
I told you you have to stop trying to be Superwoman.
Yeah. Well, I did. I went for 9 days
good
to an 18-mile beach of nothing but gorgeous, pure sand. I mean, there was hardly a rock or a shell to be found on it. It was like some sort of Walt Disney World makes the beach.
Like a set.
Yeah, it was like a set. And the water was 40 shades of blue from the tip of where it hit the sand all the way out as far as you could see. It was
so
just
beautiful.
It was just gorgeous. And,
you guys ate well and swam.
We ate okay. We
The food wasn't great?
Well, we didn't. It was very expensive. Mm-hmm. We were in the Turks and Caicos Islands. And the food is very expensive there because they don't grow anything there except for conch. I have to be careful how I say that. They grow conch from conch shells.
Uh-huh.
And which is kind of rubbery, and they make a lot of fritters out of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or saute, yes, you're from.
I've had them.
So, and I love it, but all of the restaurants are either super expensive, because you know, this is where Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner
right.
got married, and Oprah has a house,
right,
and all this kind of stuff. And we stayed in kind of a one bedroom, like a studio
uh-huh.
condo. You know, in a place that was nice, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, nice, but not.
Right.
Like where these celebs are staying.
Right. You weren't Oprah's house guest.
Yeah, no. But they have a lot of those places on the island. Like they have a place called, one of the new places is called like the Nikki Beach Resort, Nikki with 2 K's.
Wow.
And it was so funny
like
to
Darlin
me.
Nikki?
Yeah, like Darlin' Nikki. And it was so funny because we were in like a surf shop
uh-huh.
just to kind of like look around. And the girl was so cute. She was from Canada. She was from Toronto, actually. And we were just asking her about different places on the beach, and she was pointing out different bars or clubs or restaurants we might want to go to. And she was like, you know, well, and then down there you've got the Nikki Beach crowd, you know, it's like champagne and cocaine crowd, you know. And it was kind of like from South Miami Beach kind
funny.
Of crowd.
And now when you say Canadian, do you mean Canadian or do you mean lesbian?
I think she was just Canadian, not lesbian.
You know,
I know.
Because that's what I call all lesbians Canadian.
I know. I think
all
she
Canadian
was, although my girlfriend thought she was really hot and couldn't believe that I didn't find her hot. And
wow.
then, you know, of course we bump into another lady who was like had a little art gallery, and she was British or French. I can't remember right now because I was just looking at her, hardly listening.
She was Brench.
Yeah, she was Brench. And we walk out And of course, the surfer girl was 5 years, 10 years younger than Kelly and I. This one was 15 years older than Kelly and I. And we walk out of that gallery and I said, now her I would do. And Kelly goes, how can we be so radically different?
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, that's us. And that was about the only hot people we saw.
Well, you're actually radically, not radically, but you're different types yourselves.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Well, she's tall and a reed.
She is. She's tall and a reed.
Curvy and short. So, but we're both blonde. We're both the same age. So we're not as different as my track record.
I haven't dated somebody even near my age in so long.
Oh, God. Well, it's my first time. I recommend it. And then you can Google the older ladies.
Yes, exactly. No, it's unfortunately my like most of us boys, I like
them young.
And they like me, so I'm just, you know.
You like them young. And
they like me too, so it's not like I'm some creepy old, no, I am a creepy old dude, but I mean.
No, you're not.
I'm not, it's not a one-sided creepy old dude thing.
No, you're no, young at heart. You
I'm
seem
young
like you're
I'm sprightly.
20. You seem like you're
It's funny, I went out 20, last night.
Terminally 25.
Well, maturity level. I went out last night with one of the kids that used to be one of my camp kids, you know, my troopers mm-hmm. from the circus camp. Haven't seen him. Actually, I haven't seen him since Katrina because his family lives in New Orleans and they got flooded and they just sort of escaped to Chicago to mm-hmm. get out of New Orleans. They were lucky enough to have the means to do that. And so I haven't seen him since then. And he was on spring break with his girlfriend here in Chicago and his girlfriend's mother. Mm-hmm. And they were staying at this fabulous, fabulous condo at the Four Seasons downtown. And a friend of their family's owns it, whatever. So I hadn't seen this kid in a while, and he had Facebooked me mm-hmm. and said, you know, I want to get together. So we did, and I went down after rehearsals for dinner, and I met him at the Four Seasons, and then we went out to
I
dinner.
Love the Four Seasons.
Yeah, it was beautiful. This condo was, the view was
ridiculous.
We meant to stay there for like 10 minutes, have a glass of wine, and go, but we had to stay and watch the sunset. I mean, it was so beautiful. Anyway, I was chatting with his girlfriend, who's gorgeous. His name's Jacob, and the girlfriend's name is Kelly, and then Kelly's mother was also there. Mm-hmm. And so I could see the look on her face when I walked in because all Jacob had said was that I want to have dinner with my friend Mitchell while we're in town. So, of course, she assumed, I mean, he's 20.
Oh, he's 20.
He's 20 years old, you know.
Yeah.
And so it was his girlfriend, you know. So the mother, of course, assumed that.
You were 20.
There was some 20-year-old friend was gonna from circus was going to come and meet them for dinner. And then in walks this, like, middle-aged man. And I could tell at first she was like, what? Oh, yeah, what? And then we ended up having the most.
And then you are like charming to all parents.
The older ladies like me.
All charming parental units, yep.
Yeah. So
the older ladies like me
too. We had the most wonderful time. Yeah, we had the most wonderful time. And this is a great kid. It's a great kid. His girlfriend's fabulous. And it was really great, but it was interesting because I do get along so well with, you know, she was clearly like in her late 50s and
yeah.
these kids were in their 20s. And for some reason, I get along with both of those groups really well.
And that kind of blue blood stay at the Four
well,
Seasons.
That didn't suck.
We just went up to Winnetka. Big noise from Winnetka.
Da, 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 da.
Kelly and I were up at Winnetka this week, up at Writers Theater, heading up to Glencoe and driving up Green Bay Road. And Kelly had never really been up in that area.
In the North Shore.
The North Shore. And she was like, where are we? What is this? And I was like, this is where Sisters was filmed. This yeah. is Sisters. Sisters is in Winnetka. 30-something, Winnetka. You know, and supposedly Desperate Housewives is supposed to be the North Shore of Chicago.
Oh, really? Is that true? I never thought about that.
Well, I'd always heard that that's kind of, you know, where it's supposed to be. But yeah, did you watch the whole March sweeps, let's have women kiss? And thank God the Housewives did it.
I didn't because I thought it was going to be... I mean, all I heard was that it was Eva Longoria and Terry Hatcher. So I was sort of over them.
I'm so into Eva Longoria.
Well, she's gorgeous. Don't get me wrong.
She's just killer.
I think she's gorgeous. And what I love about her is that she's enjoying her turn.
Oh God, she's having such fun.
Such fun.
She's so fun on that damn show.
I think she's adorable. But I'm sort of over the show a little bit. But if I had known that Swoozy Kurtz was going to...
Swoozy!
That was...
How much do you
that.
Love Swoozy Kurtz?
She's
like
adorable.
Kelly didn't know anything that was happening, and she like. When Susie's character entered and a few things happened, she went, is this what's going to happen? Is she? Because I told her something was going to happen, Lesbo. And she was like, oh my God, Swoozy Kurtz. And we were like freaking out. I love Swoozy Kurtz.
Oh my gosh, she's
I
awesome.
Want her to become a new housewife. I think they should.
Oh, don't you think it's sort of a sinking ship, that show?
No.
You don't?
No.
I sort of felt like that.
I
the
felt
lesbian
like it was
kiss,
better this year.
Really? I felt like the lesbian I didn't watch it, and I shouldn't say it because I didn't see it. That's not true. I ended up YouTubing the Swoozy Kurtz
Little Momo
part before they took it down.
Just because you need to keep up on your lesbian
culture. Well, and also I'm a pop culture whore, so there I need to, even if I don't like it, I have to watch it. It sort of felt like jumping the shark to me when they announced that it was happening, like how to get some attention.
Well, it's March and it's sweeps month.
I know,
and
it is.
You know, there's going to be a lesbian kiss somewhere on a major show generally in March. Let's just go. We could probably do a study of that. Television history.
Do you notice that a boy-on-boy kiss, does nobody uses that for sweeps?
No. Well, no. But no, there were kisses on Brothers and Sisters.
Yeah, but there's always kisses on Brothers
and
Sisters.
And Rob Lowe practically almost dying in the two-hour special, but not. He's like, he's so gorgeous and loved by the gays and the lesbians.
Well, he's lovely.
He's so pretty.
And he's a pretty boy and a pretty
Kelly
girl.
Kelly and I sit there and watch him on high-definition television on a big screen, and we're like, he is so pretty.
He's so pretty. And he just gets prettier and prettier. Although, if you look, I mean, go back and look at a picture of him on Google, like Google Image. When he was a kid, he was so pretty, it makes your teeth hurt.
It hurts. Yeah. Back when he was with Jodie Foster in the Hotel New Hampshire and they're having sex over and over and over and over again so they can get it out of their system.
I loved that movie.
He's so pretty. Hey, no wonder she wanted to have sex with him.
You know what came up today that we didn't actually even think to talk about? Was this movie.
We still got time.
With this Jim Carrey movie and Ewan McGregor. Do you know about this?
I don't.
It's called, I think it's called I Love You, Philip Morris. And it's this movie in which Jim Carrey, who's a gay man, goes to prison and he meets Ewan McGregor, who's also in prison, and they fall in love. It's about this famous con man, this real story about this famous con man. And then they get out of prison and they just con their way around the world so they can keep up this fabulous lifestyle, and then they keep going back to jail, and he keeps eluding the police and escaping from jails. So, you know, it's sort of a big deal, and the sort of advanced word is that it's really good from film festivals, and nobody will purchase this movie to distribute it because the sex scenes are too graphic. And nobody wants to watch
it. Ewan McGregor and Jim Carrey?
Yep. And people keep saying that it's because who wants to watch that? Nobody wants to watch that. As opposed to, let's advertise a lesbian kiss and get a lot of people who will watch.
Isn't that interesting?
Because the boys who go to see Jim Carrey movies do not want to see him having sex with Ewan
McGregor. And yet, Milk and Brokeback Mountain, both like second in line best film.
I know, but think about it. It's about money. Brokeback Mountain, mm-hmm. which is a bit of a masterpiece, I think at this point we can all agree on that, made about a sixth as much as I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry.
Yeah.
Where the gay was used as a joke.
Right.
I'm not saying that's such a bad movie. It isn't. It's actually quite funny, and it does have a heart. It goes about
it. I haven't
it
seen it.
It goes about it sort of occasionally in a wrong-headed way.
Or like a Blades of Glory or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean, it actually has heart. I shouldn't diss the movie, but people went in droves to see a movie in which they made fun of it, but nobody will even distribute a movie in which
it's... But don't you think when you make a movie like Milk or you make a movie like Brokeback Mountain, you're not making Dark Knight, you're not making, like...
No, but what I'm saying is this is a sort of a comedy romance starring arguably one of the most popular movie stars in the world, and he can't even get it sold. The difference...
I don't think Is Jim Carrey still as popular?
Well, he makes $20 million
a
movie. He has, but he still makes $20 million a movie.
Yeah.
My point is that in Milk and Brokeback, you know, the gay still has to die. This is a movie that's sort of a rom-com. It's, you know, romantic comedy.
Yeah.
Basically.
Somebody will pick it up.
We'll see. It's just interesting. That,
I Love You, Philip Morris?
I think it's called I Love You Too, Philip Morris, or I Love You, You're Perfect Now, Change. No, that's a stupid music that you did for 100 years.
That I did
years.
For 100 years. Oh, my gosh. Well, let's tell you what else is going on in the theater scene, and then we'll be back. We've got Mitchell Fain on the couch all day long, and we're just chatting.
How we gonna pay? How we gonna pay? How we gonna pay? Last year's rent.
When Rent opened on Broadway, it launched the careers of two extraordinary young actors. Adam Pascal and Anthony Rapp created the roles of Roger and Mark, the best friends and roommates at the center of Jonathan Larson's award-winning musical. Their powerful performances helped Rent become one of the biggest hits in Broadway history. To this day, when people think of Rent, they think of Adam and Anthony. And now, audiences throughout America have the chance to see their legendary performances live on stage in the musical that changed Broadway forever. Adam Pascal and Anthony Rapp coming here in Rent, the Broadway tour.
Performances begin March 31st for 2 weeks only at the Ford Center for the Performing Arts Oriental Theater. For tickets, call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art. Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
For the week of March 23rd, 2009, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater's 50th anniversary celebration comes to the Auditorium Theater of Roosevelt University, April 1st through 5th. Opening night features a cappella ensemble, Sweet Honey in the Rock, live on stage. Don't miss Alvin Ailey showcasing two Chicago premieres and two new productions. Six performances only. Seats are selling fast. Visit auditoriumtheater.org.
Million Dollar Quartet is a hit, raves the Chicago Tribune. On December 4th, 1956, Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, Carl Perkins, and Elvis Presley played together for the first and only time. Relive that night with the new rock and roll musical, Million Dollar Quartet. Now extended at the Apollo Theater, don't miss this show. For tickets to Million Dollar Quartet, visit Ticketmaster.com.
And don't miss the hilarious comedy Don't Dress for Dinner, starring Patricia Callenber, formerly of TV Sisters. It's playing now at the Royal George Theater. For tickets to Don't Dress for Dinner, go online at don'tdressfordinner.com.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hey, this is Jennifer Hudson, and you listen to the Windy City Clearcast.
So, Mitchell, obviously the sad news of the past week was Natasha Richardson's very sudden and tragic death.
Unreal.
Really unreal. Why do these things hit us just so profoundly and deep? I guess I should speak for, I don't know if it's profoundly affected you, but it has so profoundly hit me in a very deep way.
I think it's hit a chord with a lot of people, even though I think a lot of people don't know exactly who she is. They know who she is, or they've seen her, or they recognize her, or they have this affection for Liam Neeson because they know him. I think it's the idea that this healthy, beautiful, happily married mother and wife and actress, that it can all just go away like that.
Yep.
And I think it has struck a chord in a way that's, you know, it's tragic when anybody loses their life, especially in an accident like that. But there's something about,
the public persona and the dynasty of kind of that family.
The dynasty of it. And then just, I think it's just this awareness. You read in the paper, you hear in the news one day, Natasha Richardson's been in a terrible skiing accident, and then she's brain dead, and then she's dead, and you think, what?
Kelly came upstairs and I was working on the computer, and she just said Natasha Richardson had an accident and they think she's brain dead. She had a skiing accident. And I was like, exactly. I went, what? And I said, she hit a tree, did she, whatever? And she goes, no, it wasn't even a big fall. She was like on a very easy slope. And she was with her instructor.
Yeah.
And she said she wasn't wearing a helmet. And in my head, I don't ski and never have. And
I have.
And in my head, I go, why would you wear a helmet? Do people really wear helmets? I never see people wearing helmets.
Well, they don't know what she hit her head on. That's the issue. It's like, what did she hit her head on? A tree stump,
I think,
stump,
she
a rock?
Just hit it. Yeah, I think she just hit it. And but
ice.
Deb Pierce and I were talking today. Now, you know, she's there in Canada, and she is a Canadian. Both Canadian. And she said that there was some buzz about the fact that there was an ambulance waved off.
Yeah.
But obviously, you know, I've read some reports who said, you know, you can have this hemorrhage and you can be talking and joking and laughing, and then all of a sudden it's just, you know, the pressure and the blood became too hard. I have to say, like, you know, I really, the first time I ever knew who she was The Handmaid's Tale.
Me too. I was going to say the same thing.
And I had read that book.
Oh,
and it was
too.
Such
in
a
college.
Feminist. I remember the lesbian character in that. You know, I mean, I just remember so much about when that film came out and kind of where I was in my life, where I was with my sexuality, where a lot of things were going on with my feminism.
Right.
That was kind of the new birth of my feminism right at that time. And she just hit such a chord with me in that film. I don't know why. And her sister did the same thing in a film called Sister, My Sister, which was based on kind of Janae's The Maids, or The Sister in the House, the play, or Sister in My House.
The sister who was on Nip Tuck.
Yes, the sister who's now on Nip Tuck. Yeah. And
well, she used to be, they killed her off.
No, she's still on.
She is? Wait a minute. I thought they killed her off. Oh, no, they killed off the girlfriend.
Yeah, they killed off the girlfriend. But, no, she was the whole lesbo thing with Portia de Rossi this past year. But you know, just really, really shocking and really tragic, and such a light on Broadway. And I love kind of the integrity of her. You know, she did film work, but she did so much fantastic theater work.
If anyone is interested, go to SheilaO'Malley.com. Mm-hmm. Sheila, like you'd spell it, and O'Malley, O-M-A-L-L-E-Y.com. And she's a blogger friend of mine. She's a brilliant writer. And she wrote a piece that she's that she actually wrote for a theater and film blog of another sort of well-known New York Times writer who asks her to guest write every once in a while. But she posted it on her blog, and it's her review of Natasha Richardson in Cabaret, in the revival of Cabaret, because Sheila went. And, you know, it was sort of one of those life-changing moments in theater for Sheila.
Really? And she won the Tony Award for that.
And then so Sheila, the combination of, and she also posts, in the post, there's two clips of Natasha Richardson singing in that production. Mm. So Sheila very incredibly beautifully describes what an amazing performance it was and why.
Yeah.
And then also there's these great examples because there's the YouTube clips of it. So go to SheilaO'Malley.com if you're interested in sort of
a
really gorgeous
homage
tribute
to her.
Yeah, a really gorgeous homage. It's quite stunning, well written, and it gives you a glimpse into what an artist she was.
Well, and you heard people like, or I heard people like Jodie Foster, of course, commenting. He was in Nell with her and Liam Neeson right after they got married, I believe, was when they did that film. You had Jane Fonda, who was on Broadway, remembering meeting her when she was doing Julia. I mean, when she was a little girl.
Yeah.
You know, and Alan Cumming talking about it as well, who was in Cabaret with her, and that was a really pivotal performance from him as well.
Yeah, they both sort of took off from that place.
Yeah. It's really, really sad, and Ron Silver dying as well,
which I didn't
even hear about until very after the fact. So,
God, I used to love Ron Silver. He sort of disappeared for a while a little bit. I sort of didn't see him very often, but I loved Enemies of Love Story, one of my favorites, with Lena Olin and Angelica Houston and him, and Reversal of Fortune.
He's just such a fantastic actor.
He was a really fantastic actor.
Yeah, very fantastic actor. So lights dimmed twice on Broadway in the same week. It's just very, very sad. There's been a lot of other news. Of course, Natasha Richardson, not really any gay news. One other interesting thing, Barbie turned 50.
I know. Did you see Kristen Wiig do her on Sunday Live?
No.
I mean, please tell me, people out there, that you're all Kristen Wiig fans, because
she's brilliant.
She's fucking brilliant. So she did this thing with like Barbie's hands, and the fact that her elbows don't move.
Yes.
It was so,
and her fingers are wedged together.
Oh, God, it was so damn funny.
Yeah. Barbie's 50.
Barbie's 50 years old.
Half a century old, Barbie. You still look good. We're going to go to the news, and then our bisexual Jack going to give us his little by the way this week.
Oh.
Celebrating over 30 years as Chicago's own internationally acclaimed contemporary dance company, Hubbard Street Dance Chicago presents its 2009 Celebrity Cast Party, a GLBT event. Join the dancers and fans of Hubbard Street Dance on Sunday, April 5th, for a matinee performance and a party immediately following at the Fairmont Chicago, featuring signature cocktails, delicious hors d'oeuvres, dancing, and more. You won't want to miss the fun, fabulous event. Tickets start at $125 and are available now at hubbardstreetdance.com or by calling 312-850-9744, extension 164. Hubbard Street Dance Chicago thanks Exelon, Center on Halsted, the Fairmont Chicago, and Windy City Media Group for support of this event.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News. For the 18th year, the Ancient Order of Hibernians, which organizes the St. Patrick's Day Parade down New York City's Fifth Avenue, banned Irish gay groups from marching. At 57th Street, a group of Irish-American gays and lesbians staged a quiet protest, and the city's highest-ranking gay politician, City Council Speaker Christine Quinn, boycotted the event again this year.
The Human Rights Campaign hand-delivered an online petition that 46,000 users signed to the Washington, D.C. offices of the law firm Kirkland & Ellis, where Ken Starr is of counsel. Starr recently argued before the California Supreme Court to uphold Proposition 8 and to strike down the 18,000 marriages performed when marriage equality was legal in the state.
An Oklahoma high school teacher, Deborah Taylor, lost her job after showing the film The Laramie Project, which centers on the late Wyoming student Matthew Shepard. However, the school district said Taylor was fired after she held a mock funeral for a canceled film production of the play.
In Brooklyn, jurors convicted Omar Willock, 18, of viciously stabbing to death 20-year-old Roberto Duncanson, a gay man Willock said flirted with him. Willock was initially facing murder as a hate crime, but that charge was dropped. Willock faces as much as 25 years to life for killing Duncanson, who was apparently drunk at the time.
The National Office of PFLAG has reported over 75 inquiries about starting new chapters across the country since Election Day 2008. With almost 500 chapters and affiliates across the nation, PFLAG is working with local allies who have expressed interest in bringing chapters to their communities in states such as Mississippi, California, and Utah.
President Barack Obama has signed an executive order creating the White House Council for Women and Girls. The missions of the council will be to provide a federal response to the challenges confronted by women and girls and to ensure that all cabinet and cabinet-level agencies consider how their policies and programs impact women and families.
In Orange County, California, police shut down a weekly gay bowling/dancing event for not having a permit. However, the event's organizers said it was closed because it is a gay event. Zach Moose, one of the organizers behind Spin Tuesdays, said, "Everyone's feeling like the gay community is not welcome here." But Orange Police Sergeant Lopez said that the event was too well attended, which was a safety issue.
Also in California, Deputy District Attorney Jay Borowski has said that hate crime cases surged in Santa Clara County last year because of the controversy over Prop 8. Anti-gay incidents made up 56% of hate crime cases last year, a big jump from only 15% in 2007. However, Frank Schubert of the conservative group Protect Marriage said, "I certainly hope Proposition 8 did not result in more crime, but if it did, it did so on both sides."
After initially barring a female student from wearing a tuxedo to her prom, the Lebanon, Indiana school district has reversed its course. The 17-year-old senior filed a lawsuit saying that she is a lesbian and does not like wearing dresses because they represent a sexual identity she rejects.
And in world news, Miguel Antonio Galan has become the first openly gay politician to run for mayor of a major Mexican city. Galan, age 31, was nominated by the minority Mexican Social Democratic Party to run for the top post in Guadalajara. The election is July 5th.
Denmark's parliament has approved a bill to allow equal adoption rights for civil partners and straight married couples. Currently, gays and lesbians can adopt individually in the country, and couples can adopt their partner's existing children. The measure will grant same-sex couples the right to adopt jointly.
And in entertainment news, the world premiere of Pedro, a film about the life of former Real World resident Pedro Zamora, will run on MTV April 1st. Written by Dustin Lance Black, the Oscar-winning screenwriter of Milk, the film portrays the true story of Pedro Zamora, an openly gay Cuban-American HIV-positive AIDS educator who became famous for his activism, testimony before Congress, and the TV show.
Clay Aiken will present the Excellence in Media Award to Tyra Banks, and T.R. Knight will present the Vito Russo Award to Susie Orman at the 20th Annual GLAAD Media Awards, March 28th in New York City.
And Judge Judy told CNN's Larry King that she was saddened by the vote last year regarding Prop 8. She added, "I was also as saddened by the vote here in California as I was in the state of Arkansas, where voters supported a measure banning unmarried couples from adopting or fostering children." Ah, Judge Judy on our side.
And that's the Week in News brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hello, all you QueerCast listeners. Jack is back with another By the Way, representing the B in the big gay alphabet. A couple weeks ago, I read something in the quote line section of the Windy City Times whereby the phrase bi-furious was used in reference to Katy Perry's overplayed and offensive Girls Gone Wild-inspired song, I Kissed a Girl. I thought it was hilarious. Things that irk me about Katy Perry are the lines of the song, It Felt So Wrong, and her other track, You're So Gay. There's nothing wrong with kissing a person of the same sex, toots. And Katy, good luck scoring a hit with your next album. Oh, how I'm having flashbacks to the short-lived TV series based on the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding. No, I don't find myself bi-furious much at all. I remember LGBT organizations being up in arms about Sharon Stone's bisexual murderer, Catherine Schmall, in the blockbuster Basic Instinct. How times have changed. When I saw the movie, I was more set off by the rampant drug and alcohol abuse and reckless driving than the fact that the lead bi character might be a killer. I think there are a lot of things to laugh about with being bi, sexually fluid, and in that other category. A couple of years ago, I went to my company's LGBTA organization's party, and the head of the group asked me to address the crowd. Well, later in that evening, a tall, good-looking, athletic, drunk woman just automatically assumed I was a homo, so she just walked up to me and bumped her beautiful full breast into my chest as if she were Karen Walker and I was Just Jack. I was totally caught off guard. Little did she know I'm no Just Jack, more like a jack of all trades. Another time, I just got totally busted by my then-boyfriend's hot gal pal. I must have been checking her out or something, because when he stepped out of the room, she asked if I was sure I was gay. Somehow I weaved my words to get out of that situation without revealing my bi tendencies, considering my ex's temper and never-ending jealousy. Now, I'm not saying I'm, like, dropping my jaw looking at everybody. Quite the contrary. There are very few men and women and in-betweens that I find attractive. And it's not all based on looks, but it's also outlooks and personality. Maybe the stereotype of bi people being attracted to all people makes me bi furious. But that is just one trait that this bi guy does not fly by. Enjoy life, find the positive in what you can, and try not to be bi furious. Until next time, this is Jack signing off with another By the Way, representing the B in the big gay alphabet.
Anyone out there? Bueller? Bueller? Post a comment at WindyCityQueerCast.com.
Love, exciting and new. Come aboard. We're expecting you. And love, life's sweetest reward. Let it flow. It floats back to you. The love boat soon we'll be making another run. The love boat promises something.
So Mitchell, your trip, tell me where you start from and where
well, on Sunday.
What kind of this thematically, what kind of show y'all are gonna be doing?
Okay, so it's different from the last time.
You're going to be touring South America, not the Mediterranean.
No, it's the Gulf of Mexico. So it's mostly what they call the Mexican Riviera. So it's mostly the Gulf Coast of Mexico, not the not the West Coast, the East Coast of Mexico. So it's like Belize City and Cozumel. And we fly on Sunday to New Orleans, where we'll meet the ship. We'll get on with the passengers for that cruise. And then for the next 7 days, it will do this loop. We'll go to several Mexican port towns, and I think two South American towns, which I can't actually remember what they are.
Have you been to any of those
places? No, it's going to be all new to me. So then we go back up to New Orleans, get new passengers, and do it again. So while we're on the ship, one night we will do a 45-minute best of Second City set, meaning mm-hmm. that there's best of, they have 45 years of archival material that
right.
we get to use. So the director puts together a set mm-hmm. of old sketches and improv games and songs and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And then we'll do that twice one night, two 45-minute mm-hmm. sets. And then another night we'll do two 45-minute improv sets.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
How nice is that?
It's delicious. I mean, some people have warned me that I'll get bored or stir crazy, but I'm like, really? Because I'll read and do crosswords and sit on the pool deck. I'm good to go.
Yeah.
I'm really excited. They're so
generous to
me.
Have you been to New Orleans?
Never been to New Orleans.
You're
going to
love New Orleans. I hope you get to eat there. Talk about the most fantastic food you could ever imagine.
And the boat docks literally from a 15-minute walk into the center of the French Quarter.
Okay, I so want you to call me from Café du Monde and have some beignets and a cup of chicory coffee and call me.
I'm just so excited.
You are going to be so happy in the Bayou San.
And I just met, because we just started rehearsals, we're having very few rehearsals, because two of the people in the cast are already on the ship, so we're joining their cast, because some people are leaving. So myself, this actor Jamie, and this actress Eileen, and the director TJ are rehearsing together, and so we basically just met yesterday.
Ever met any of them?
No.
No.
No. And I have to say, already I feel like good stuff.
Yeah?
Really good stuff. I mean, they're so funny and have so much more experience at this particular performance form than I do. They're so funny and so generous. And the director is this really fabulous guy whose reputation I'd heard of for years.
Uh-huh.
TJ Shanoff is his name. He's a big deal at Second City. And a really brilliant man, and I'm really already looking forward to how much I'm going to learn from him in, you know, this press, because, excuse me, we'll rehearse on the boat for about a week. You know, we're doing a little bit here, and then we'll rehearse on the boat with the whole cast. So I'm just excited.
So how big will the cast be?
There's five people, five actors and one musical director.
Nice.
So, you know, there's always a piano player who plays incidental music, but then also improvises with us when we do musical improv. And,
yeah.
And they have to be very clever.
Yeah.
So that's, I'm really looking forward to it.
Do you think there'll be, like, new material based on what's going on kind of with the U.S., with the economy or the recession?
Well, probably in our improv sets.
Yeah, in your improv sets.
What I'm excited about, because in Europe, when I did the tour last year, and it was in Europe, we had to be careful because nobody cared about American-specific humor, right? And if they did, it had to be very, like, you know, Barack Obama good, you know, Hillary Clinton whatever, you know, like, very obvious. And I'm excited because we dock in New Orleans for the first half and then Boston for the second half. I think we'll be able to do much more topical humor. Because in Europe, there were a lot of people just didn't speak English, nor did they just care about American politics, which, you know, I don't blame them. And,
so now, will there be other artists on the boat with you?
Well, yeah, there's a whole, it's called Gene and Ryan. Gene and Ryan, I think. It's a production company that, like, has, like,
oh yeah,
Las Vegas-y sort of show, show, you know, like, show girly sort of shows, like Broadway review show.
Do they have big musicals on this show?
Well, not
they
on
used
the,
to,
no.
The
ship that I was on before, where I met Megan, my fabulous friend Megan, and this incredible group of performers, it was a different production company, and they did full on
musicals.
Musicals. Fabulous, fabulous. And so I have no experience with this other sort of dancer. Because it's like dancers and they're singers. But I'm excited. I hope they're fun and I hope they're sexy and I hope they want to hang out and I hope they like...
And now you get to have sex in more ports.
I hope to. I do hope to have as much sex as possible,
Amy. You can be the UN.
Once again, I will be the UN in the Southern Hemisphere.
The ambassador. Ah, in the Southern Hemisphere.
If you know what I'm
saying.
The
Southern Hemisphere.
Ooh, that's dirty. So I'm excited about it. I will miss you, though.
I will miss you, too. I will miss you, too. You have to eat good food in New Orleans. You, of course, will eat good seafood in Boston.
Oh, yes, exactly.
That'll be fantastic.
Anybody who's ever been to Boston knows that Legal Seafood is the place to go.
Where?
It's called Legal Seafood.
Legal Seafood.
Oh, God. If you're in Boston, people.
Yeah.
It seems like a chain restaurant because there's several of them. Don't let that deter you. It is not the Red Lobster.
Yeah. They I just like happen the Red Lobster. Why you got to hate the Red Lobster?
You're looking at somebody from the Ocean State.
I'm teasing you.
I was going to say, we do not go to the Red Lobster.
Just about the hush puppies, honestly. You can't fuck them up, but I just love them.
Somebody in Rhode Island would put a hit on me if I found out if I went to the Red Lobster.
I'm going to take you there.
Somebody from my mafioso roots would put a hit on me if I dared to say that I went to the Red Lobster. I actually have never gone to the Red Lobster. But in Boston, I'm excited to go to Legal Seafood. I'm also excited because I have so many friends who live in that area. So when we dock in Boston on when we do that half of the trip, the other half of the trip after South America and Mexico is Boston to Bermuda, which is a much sort of more
because Bermuda is so close to Boston. What?
Yeah,
what do you mean?
Bermuda,
you're
like Bermuda.
You just drive. You just float up the
sea,
whole.
2 days at sea, 3 days in Bermuda, 2 days back to Boston, pick up new people, and keep doing it.
Just like a long weekend.
What's like? That's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's 7 days. That's a week. You get on the ship, you're at sea for 2 full days. So you're gambling and sunning and drinking and seeing shows. Then you get to Bermuda.
Yeah.
And you...
Do you gamble while you're on these
God.
Boats?
Well, A, I'm not a gambler. Never have. I put one quarter in one slot machine one time in Vegas.
Yeah. You don't play blackjack?
Nope.
You don't enjoy it?
I love cards, but I don't gamble.
Well,
my mother's a gambleholic, but that's a whole other
story. A gambleholic?
No, she is. She's a gambleholic.
Is that what you call it?
Something like that.
A gambleholic.
Gambleholic. And so we don't gamble.
Yeah,
my family, and so, and also we can't gamble on the ships.
Yeah.
That's one of we can do a lot of things. Gamble, we cannot.
Oh, interesting.
We're not even really allowed in the casino,
oh,
except to like walk through if we have to get to some other place.
Interesting.
But other than that, we have all sorts of great.
They don't you know care if you have sex
you know
up
what's
and
nice
down.
That they do? Well, depends on who with.
Yeah.
You know what is one nice thing that Norwegian Cruise Line NCL does? Is that they have this night at the beginning of the cruise that they call the Friends of Dorothy. And they set aside like an hour and a half at one of the bars on the ship, like one of the little lounges with, you know, gorgeous view of the ocean. And they set aside this time, like 6 to 7:30, you know, on like a, you know, first couple of nights that you're on the ship.
Right.
And so if you look in your sort of like freestyle daily, which is like
the
what's going
ship
on. The
manifest.
Yeah, the little ship, you know, itinerary and stuff, what's going on. You know, any gay person would recognize that as a gay expression. So you can sort of meet
other gay people.
The gay people who are on the ship, because it's not a gay cruise. I mean, this is
right.
But there's
that's
of course,
so cool that they do.
Isn't that cool?
That.
I think that's really awesome. And you know, I met some really interesting people last year. You know, often older.
Yeah.
Because you know, cruisers tend to skew older and coupled. You know, you don't. This isn't like a singles party cruise. But I got to meet some really interesting older gay folk and from all over the world.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really lovely. I really
that's
like
so
it.
So cool. That means they're gay friendly that yep. they do yep. that. That's so super cool.
Yeah.
Well, while you're packing,
mm-hmm.
you've got to do some packing
I do.
Here in the next couple of days. And I am having what I call my tea-themed couple of days.
I need you to stop saying that with such a lascivious look on your face.
It's all about the teas.
She keeps slow blinking, by the way.
The
she slow blinks when she says it.
The teas, which is I did some talking, making some calls. I had tennis, playing some tennis. Tanning. Mm-hmm.
Tanning.
Tanning was a tea. Taxes.
Taxes.
Doing my taxes.
Wow.
Talking with you.
Taxidermy?
Yes.
No.
No. Deb Pierce was the one when I was having this conversation with her. She was like, everything you're doing is starting with tea. I was like, yes, tennis, tanning, taxes, talking with Mitchell.
Wow.
And then I thought of
Did
one
you
more,
have
but
any
now
tea?
I can't remember.
Did you actually have tea?
No, I haven't had tea. Maybe I'll have some tea.
Yeah.
It has caffeine in it, though. It keeps me up. I think I've got some decaffeinated tea.
I do if you don't. I have some herbal
Yeah.
Tea.
It's all about the teas. There was something else, tea, but I can't remember right now.
Hmm.
I'm slow. I am slow blinking. It's good.
You
right?
are. You keep slow blinking.
I keep
at
slow.
Me.
I'm really comfortable.
People, if you don't know what a slow
tired.
Blink is, look at yourself in the mirror and say something as you slowly close your eyes, as if you're sort of not dealing with it at all. And it's
that's what my taxes are. I think I obviously started with the taxes.
Blank.
Oh my God! I have to get my taxes done. I know, folks.
I did
it
mine
is,
yesterday.
Did you? It's yeah. not far away, so do not delay unless you just love filing those extensions, which I have done for the past like 6 years.
I was
afraid
I was going to because I was waiting for another W-2 because you know, as an actor, I have
yeah,
so
you have
many jobs
every
over
freaking
yeah.
place.
So, and then a 1099, blah blah blah, and but I got them all, and so I got them done yesterday because you know this week has been about like. Getting my teeth clean before I go away. Getting
that's a
checkup. You know.
All right, that's not a teeth.
getting a checkup. Well, actually, I had to, you know, I, never mind. Nobody needs to know my medical problems, but it has to do with my tush. So that's a teeth.
And it's not what you think, boys.
No, it's not.
That's not what you think.
No. Anyway, my doctor just really likes my ass.
There you go. That's I like your ass.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Cute. It's
you.
Awfully cute. Can I tell you the funniest damn thing that I did today? I was playing tennis, and they have these. It's indoor tennis because it's obviously not warm enough here for those of you listening to
yet.
Us anywhere warmer than Chicago.
Well, it's snowing in New York. They don't give
yeah,
a shit
okay,
about us.
Yeah, okay, they don't give a shit about us. But so they have these practice lanes where you can go with the ball machine and you mm-hmm. just hit like your machine, and it's satisfying and makes you sweat
oh, yeah.
and hard. And I really love it. I try to do that at least once a week besides playing games and going to class. And I've been doing it on been doing that schedule for a while now. And I was there kind of by myself, and this older woman walked in. I kind of helped her. She'd never used the ball machine. She was a couple of courts or you know, a couple lanes over from me. And I was just doing some serves. This would have been on. I wish this had been on the funniest home movies because it makes me laugh so hard. I was like serving, and I was just really feeling. You know, sometimes you're there and you've just been hitting balls for a long time, and I'm just feeling a little like a rock star.
Nice work. Uh-oh.
Okay, I've gone from having blinking eyes to like not being able to stop
right.
smiling.
And now
right
you're
now.
Really red.
Oh my God! So I'm like serving and serving and serving, and all of a sudden I'm like, I'm just gonna have one of those like Stephanie Graf like. Just like arch
Grunt.
It up there and just like, yeah.
Oh no.
So I literally, I mean, it was like, you know, when you're a little kid and they teach you to tuck, duck, and roll.
Oh no, did you fall down?
I literally did a front flip.
Why? Because you swung so hard?
I fucking.
You're an asshole. Oh my God. Did anybody come over and be was like,
no, it was only me and the little old lady, and I think she was like, wow, do we have to play that hard?
So what happened? You swung so hard that
no,
you just fell
No, I literally,
over?
I had to show you my elbow. Nobody else can see this. But I literally, like, with my right arm as it crossed to the left of my body.
Oh.
I don't know if you can see, like, I have a Nazi on
Oh,
my...
yeah, you have a bruise?
It's, like, right there.
Swollen.
It's, like, swollen and bruised. But let me tell you, I fell really well. I literally, like, I hit my elbow as I was going down in a weird way, but I literally landed. You would be so proud of me, the gymnast that you are. Nice. I landed on the soft of my back right shoulder. I mean, I literally did a fucking front roll out of my...
Playing tennis. I wish you could see Amy's face. Oh my god.
It was the funniest thing ever.
Dad's gonna have to cut out half of this laughing.
No, she loves this shit. Oh. I swear to God, the problem is I didn't get to laugh about it. Like, sometimes you just want to laugh about something really hard because you know how funny it is. And I wish somebody else had been there so we could have had a laugh about it. So now I'm having it with you guys on the podcast.
Oh, my God, that's so funny.
I swear to God, it was the funniest thing ever because they have a net right there, too. So I, like, did a front roll, like, into the net. Like, I was a fucking Cirque du Soleil person, like, landing in the net. It was hilarious. I mean, it was the funniest thing. I think I broke
Or a dolphin getting caught in a tuna net.
I feel like I hit both elbows. But because I held onto my racket. I mean, it was literally like one of those dive rolls.
Like a circus trick.
Like when you learn in stage combat or in gym class or gymnastics, like how to take a fall. I just ducked my head perfectly. Didn't hit my head at all.
Thank God.
Of course, I came up thinking like, oh my God, if I hit my head, Natasha Richardson. I was like,
exactly.
Full circle. But
I think a lot of people think about that.
Like, oh God, we're all going to think about that. But yeah, it was the funniest thing. I was like, ow, I really hit my elbow. But other than that, I literally like hit the back of my shoulder and rolled onto my ass. And like, I mean, and literally almost rolled to a standing position. I wonder if anybody's done that in professional tennis ever. I've got to tell my tennis coach, and she's going to laugh. I mean, I wonder if they have cameras in there, like hidden cameras. I should call them and ask them, do you have hidden security cameras anywhere in
this place? They're probably not even that hidden. They're probably right there.
Because that was the funniest damn thing that's almost happened to me in 10 years. You know, I used to fall on my face a lot. I've fallen on my face so much that they say that I should be Elle Macpherson. The only bone in my body that I have broken repeatedly and ever broken is my nose. And one time when I was living in Chicago, I was crossing a street at a tri-section. For those of you in Chicago, it was Milwaukee Division and Damon. Is that what it is?
I have no idea.
Damon, I think. Ashland, Milwaukee Division, that kind of area. And I was looking to my right as I crossed the street and kind of crossing the street and hopped up onto the curb. And when I turned my head, I walked into a pole. Like I walked into a do not park, huge metal cemented into the ground
pole. Amy.
And it hurt. And then I just backed up and I started laughing. And then of course my nose like erupted and I bled all over myself. And somebody had to come and like take me to the emergency room at Illinois Masonic. And they asked me if I did cocaine. And I was like, I wish I had. Yeah, that would make me feel a lot less embarrassed than the fact that I walked into a pole. Yeah, I'm no gold dust woman, believe you me. So I had a good laugh even then as I was bleeding. But today I didn't have a laugh. I just kind of did it. And I was like, how the hell did I do that? And then the balls kept coming, so I just kept hitting,
Because as you're on the ground, they're still coming at you.
Yeah, actually, no, they weren't coming at me at this moment because I was just serving. Remember, I'm trying to serve like 70 grand.
It only makes it more pathetic.
It's so funny. Oh, my God. And it was a good serve. Let me tell you, that was an awesome serve.
Good for you.
It was... It's the funniest damn thing ever.
Hey, you know what we haven't talked about?
Yeah, we may have to talk about it in the next show. I've laughed half this show.
It's just it is just interesting. This is total non sequitur, but it just occurred to me because I just thought about the different, like the Hawaii civil union thing, West Virginia. There's a civil union thing that looks actually pretty good. Vermont is looking at gay marriage very seriously, like in this next week.
Oh wow!
Rhode Island, my little hometown, is looking at gay marriage in the next year.
And then the House bill passing last week in Illinois that's going on. Moving
on. There's actually a lot happening as far as that goes. Momentum. I mean, you know, not all of it's marriage, but you know, I believe it's West Virginia. I don't think I'm making this up. I think it's West Virginia. They're pretty close to passing a pretty
anti-discrimination.
Yep. No, they're like an inclusive, like civil rights, a civil union kind of bill in which gay couples get almost all the same rights as marriage, but out going as far as marriage.
I don't know about that for West Virginia. Maybe Virginia, but maybe. I know West Virginia is just doing some anti-discrimination, and that's pretty big for them already.
I think so, too.
So
those would be things to look out for this summer, you know?
We'll look out.
In Vermont is
gays marrying everywhere because, you know, Obama's making it easier for you to smoke pot, so that means the gays are going to get married.
Well, thank God I'm a pot-smoking queer Jew. Just
there you go.
On.
You and Bill Maher.
It is interesting. Vermont's very interesting because there aren't that... I mean, I've been to Vermont a lot. There ain't that many queers up there. I mean,
really?
No.
They didn't all move there?
No. It's like,
I always think they're like lesbians hanging from trees up there.
It is so... I mean, there's... Don't get me wrong.
I don't think there are a lot of men, but I always think of when they say Vermont has marriage, I just think of lots of lesbians getting married.
No. They just firmly believe in the government staying out of their goddamn business.
Yeah.
It's not because there's a huge gay population, I promise you.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong, there's gay people in Vermont, but... Trust me, when I go to Vermont, I up the gay population, you know, a good 30-40%.
Exponentially.
But it's interesting because as Vermonters, part of the ethos of being a Vermonter...
Is that you can get married. Like
no, is that you just stay out of my business, government.
Yeah.
You can't tell me what I can and can't do.
Well, I just think it's going to be really interesting, as we heard in some of our news stories today, that the whole Prop 8 thing continues and more... petitions, taken to people in California who are making this decision, and people like Judge Judy coming on Larry King and talking, you know, as one of our news stories as well, which I think is fantastic. So
I love her.
I think that you're gonna be between the time now and when you come back, there's gonna have been some massive momentum.
There's gonna be some stuff for us to talk about.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we'll be talking in Boston.
I hope so too.
And maybe from New Orleans.
That'd
from
be awesome.
Cafe Dumont.
Wouldn't that be so
Cafe
awesome?
Cafe Dumont.
Or I could just find myself a little grassy area and just sit myself down.
Not a grassy knoll.
Not a grassy knoll, just a grassy area. And just Skype it up.
No more tragedy.
No, oh God, no.
No more tragedy.
I can't handle any more tragedy.
We've had too many deaths lately.
I know. It's. I'm sort of dealing with the shadow of it in my family right now. And it's brutal, man.
It's weird.
It's brutal. The one thing I... can say about this particular person I'm talking about is that I have a very uncomplicated relationship with this member of my family who I love beyond words. By uncomplicated, I mean that I love her. She loves me. I spoke to her recently. She's been given 3 to 6 months to live. I'm going to go there. She has 3 to 6 months to live, and I'm going to be gone for 4 of them. So I talked to her, and I said, what do you want me to do?
Right.
Do you want me to stay? Because I won't go. I mean, it would be bad if I burned a bridge, you know, this late in the game.
Yeah.
But I'd do what she wanted me to do. And of course, she said, I want you to go on an adventure.
Yeah.
You know, she said, do you have anything that you desperately have to say to me that you've left unsaid? And I said, I don't. And she said, same with me.
Good.
So... So I don't know. I've had this week of thinking about. I suddenly got very serious after the.
No.
I just had this week. It's Mitchell's moral for the week. I've just had this week thinking about making sure that you say to the people that you love. A, that you love them,
mm-hmm.
but B, anything else that may or may not be difficult to say, but that you don't want to have not said.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of feel like. I'm so lucky with my godmother who's very ill. Like I said, our relationship is very, it's really intense and really honest, and we've had lots
uncomplicated
of
doesn't mean not deep.
No,
and
no,
it doesn't
it's deep.
Mean not intimate.
No, it's deep and intimate, and it's uncomplicated because we have no secrets. We've been so open with each other. She's been such an extraordinary influence in my life, and I've just been thinking about that and the people that I love and making sure that you say to the people that you love, like, this is my truth and this is how I feel, and because, you know, as we just learned with Natasha Richardson.
Yeah, it's short, folks.
And
enjoy your life.
It can happen with, you know, at least I'm getting warning with my godmother, you know?
Yeah, I don't think it's about living in fear of the end, but it's like living with the fullness of the day.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
for fuck's sake, I mean, it is that kind of connected to this damn tennis moment. It's like, you know, just hit that ball hard.
Just
like, just
hard.
Do it. Like, just
and it's not fear of
be
death.
Be in your moment.
But I do think, and this is, for me, this is my own personal thing, is like, I've just become really aware that, like, boom, it could go away. My friend's dad died earlier this year, and that was really
mm-hmm.
painful. A man, you know, who was sort of a father figure to me for many years, and 20-something years. And, boom, this person's gone. So it's like, oh, God, you know, did I say everything I needed to say to Mr. O'Malley? And it's pretty intense stuff, you know. And then I'm going on this journey with all these new people, and so it's like, it's going to give me a lot of time to reflect on this. And, you know... hopefully my godmother makes it till, you know, I can go right to Rhode Island after I get off the ship and stuff like that. But
and stay there for
say
a while.
Everybody say a prayer for my godmother. Whether you
say a prayer. First name.
Robin.
Robin.
Whether or not you believe or not, because I don't, but I do believe in the power of positive energy. So think positive thoughts about Robin.
I do, and I will.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
We'll talk next show. How about that? We got one more before you leave.
Fantastic.
I can't believe it. I'm going to come see you in Bermuda.
I think you should.
This is what it's about.
Because we can sit around for 3 days on the beach.
Carpe diem.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to Bermuda.
I love it. So we can do a show together.
Yeah.
One thing to do, three words for you.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.
I love you.